Now it's time for us to discuss more of these headlines and simple keywords with Adam joining us via Zoom. Good morning, Adam.
Well, good morning, Lena, and happy World Art Day.
You're kidding.
I'm not. It's a UNESCO recognized international day. So, yeah, significant.
I wonder if David Tizard, who joins us from World Deconstructed, knew that, because we're talking about, well, a nobody hanging up his artwork in a pretty prestigious modern art museum in Munich, Germany. And it kind of lines
up
perfectly.
Yeah.
Let's say.
Coincidence? Maybe, maybe not.
These are wonderful questions. Listeners, do chime in. Do you believe in coincidences, fate? What is art? These kinds of things? Thanks for that,
yes,
Adam.
It is World Art Day. It is a significant international day, so not just one of those, you know, weird
unicorn
days that I mentioned. But yeah, it's a significant one. So enjoy the arts today more than ever.
Thanks for the updates. All right, let's get started with the keyword news. One of the biggest and perhaps most pressing headlines to get to this morning comes from the world news section. Israel weighs a response to Iran after more than 300 missiles and drones were fired. Let's get a closer look at this story. Our first keyword of the day.
Iran strikes Israel.
So Iran has launched drones and missiles towards Israel in its first direct attack on the Jewish state's territory. Concerns are mounting over the escalating crisis in the Middle East, but it does look like Iran wants to de-escalate. What's the latest?
Right. So Iran said the assault was a response to a deadly attack on an Iranian diplomatic compound in Syria earlier this month. So they've been kind of watching and seeing of a possible attack by Iran. So it wasn't like one of those surprise attacks. It was under certain vigilance. Now, the attack involved more than 300 drones and missiles. Israeli's military says the vast majority were intercepted with the help from allies. Officials say one ballistic missile hit the Nevatim air base in the south of the country, causing minor damage, as well as a couple of others that did manage to make their way through. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu convened a war cabinet to discuss the attack. Now, Tehran warns that if Israel retaliated, its next response would be bigger and that U.S. bases would also be attacked if the U.S. took part in any Israeli retaliation. And global leaders, including the U.S. President Joe Biden and the U.N. Secretary General, condemned the attack. Biden has hosted an online meeting of the G7 leaders, saying Washington will not participate in any offensive action against Tehran. So basically say, or urging the other G7 leaders to not escalate the situation, as it will also not try to do so. The White House has insisted it does not want to see the crisis in the Middle East escalate. Of course, there's a lot of economic repercussions involved with that. The UN chief Antonio Guterres called for a de-escalation of violence as well and maximum restraint. And G7 leaders also echoed similar sentiments. Now, but in response to Iran's aggression, allied militant groups across the region, including Hezbollah in Lebanon, have intensified their assaults against Israeli positions, further complicating the crisis. It's said and reported that a total of about 9 countries were actually involved in this military escalation, from the firing of missiles and other projectiles and the interceptions that came afterwards. Now, the potential for a large-scale retaliation by Israel does loom, which could, of course, lead to a broader conflict, potentially drawing in global powers and impacting the already fragile global economy. So this is quite a significant and concerning development in the Middle East, and considering that it is the first direct kind of conflict between Iran and Israel. And of course, the repercussions to follow are very worrisome for a lot of the global leaders.
You're absolutely right. Now, the focus is, of course, on Israel. How will they respond? I mean, there's international pressure for the Israel to show restraint despite the escalated attacks, right? So we'll have to wait and see. Now, speaking of the widening conflict in the Middle East and its potential economic and security impact, this is why the president of South Korea decided to host an emergency meeting, our second related keyword of the day.
Mideast crisis meeting.
So President Yoon has hosted an emergency economic and security meeting on Sunday to discuss responses to escalating Middle East crisis. We already saw oil and gold prices spike once more. What came out of this meeting?
Yeah, so you'd order ministers to operate a government-wide system to analyze and manage international oil prices, energy supply, and supply chains. He also called for swift contingency measures in case problems arise. Now, he also called for measures to safeguard Korean citizens in the region and companies there, as well as the country's vessels and ships navigating in nearby waters as well. There's already been a few shipping companies that have been taking different routes in the region because of the escalating tensions well before, actually, mm-hmm. the recent conflicts arose as well, quite wary of the situation. Now, globally, oil prices have been on the rise this year. The government also vowed to work closely with the international community to help stabilize the situation in the Middle East. Now, the upward trend in oil prices could trigger a train reaction of increasing prices for raw materials and consumer goods, thus leading to further inflation. Korea here has already been going through a resurgence in inflation, in fact, surpassing the 3% mark in February and maintaining a level of 3.1% for two straight months. Now, escalating geopolitical tensions could also delay US Fed rate cuts that were anticipated, leading to a depreciation of the Korean won and prompting significant foreign investment withdrawals from the stock market. So concerns there. Finance Minister Cho Sang-mok also convened an emergency meeting before President Yoon's meeting with the nation's financial regulators to address possible economic consequences. Domestic sectors, including shipping and construction, and also the refining industries, are cautiously monitoring for any potential escalations. And, of course, volatility in the local stock market is expected to rise as well.
All right. So keeping a watchful eye on some of those topics, let's move on to our third keyword of the day.
Mulling reshuffle.
All right, bringing all of our listeners back to the political arena in South Korea. Following the ruling party's defeat in the general elections, now President Yoon is reportedly taking a careful approach to replacing key aides, including the prime minister and chief of staff. He needs to redefine how he's going to, well, plan out the next 3 years.
Yeah, so the ruling party itself has already been going through a kind of a reshuffle on its own, but it's kind of a different story and a more careful approach and cautious one in terms of aides and staff in the presidential office. A senior official from the top office mentioned that finding and vetting the right candidates requires time. Prime Minister Han Duck-soo and several senior aides, including Chief of Staff Lee Kwang-suk, offered to step down, signaling the prospect of a widespread reshuffle. The Prime Minister position, particularly, requires parliamentary approval. Now, whomever the president taps for the role will likely be met with opposition, strong opposition at that, from the Democratic Party and the opposition bloc. The DP has already criticized some of the rumored candidates to replace Han and Yi. Now, candidates mentioned for either the Prime Minister or Chief of Staff position include Kim Han-gil, chairman of the Presidential Committee of National Cohesion, Kwon Young-se, a former unification minister, and Choo Young, a PPP heavyweight who secured his sixth term in Wednesday's elections. Now, candidates for the chief of staff post includes Won Hee-ryong, the former land minister who lost in the latest elections, as well as PPP bigwigs Chung Jin-suk and Chang Jae-won. Now, Chung failed to secure a sixth term last week, while Chang, one of the closest confidants of the president, did not run in the elections. Now, that in itself is a bit of a problem. Political observers pointing out that the rumored candidates are primarily, again, from Yoon's inner circle, if you will, suggesting that the presidential office should pay more attention to individuals outside of this sphere and for him to broaden his scope so as to include more moderate figures. There's often been kind of criticism against the president for kind of choosing senior roles from his close confidants and close inner circle. It's been met with a lot of criticism in many industries as well, broadcasting for one as well. So we'll have to see. So, of course, the president and the top office are certainly taking their time and taking a more careful approach. They don't want to cause any more controversy than it already has done with personnel appointments. That's one of the main criticisms against the administration and from the opposition party. So they basically don't want to give the opposition bloc any more ammunition to target them in the upcoming National Assembly.
All right, so could they afford to bend a little bit when it comes to appointing these key roles? We'll have to wait and see. Let's move move on to our fourth keyword of the day.
Space collaboration.
The next big frontier. The South Korean and U.S. military authorities are planning to conduct joint space exercises to prepare for various space threats, including, of course, North Korea's spy satellites. What's the latest on this front?
Right, so the defense ministries of both nations are reportedly working together to establish plans for these exercises, expected to be finalized this year. The collaboration has grown following North Korea's advancements, particularly in satellite technology, especially after its self-proclaimed successful launch of its first military satellite last November. There are also reports suggesting Pyongyang is nearly ready to launch its second spy satellite, possibly in line with significant North Korean political events this month. Now, there was a meeting in Washington last week where the allies discussed North Korea's satellite capabilities and its ongoing preparations to launch more satellites. They concluded that while North Korea has significant capabilities in launching vehicles, the performance of its satellites is still basic, although they are still keeping a watchful eye on the developments. Now, the planned space exercises will involve experts from various U.S. and South Korean military and space research organizations. These exercises could be part of existing joint military drills, but might also occur separately, of course, due to the extensive collaboration that is required. Both nations are also focusing on enhancing information sharing about space threats and considering introducing U.S. military space courses here in South Korea to boost expertise and technological exchanges as well.
NASA and CASA collaboration. Never fails to put a smile on your face.
Maybe they could have come up with a bit more of an original name, but
no, it's sticking. It's working anyway. At least it's engraved in our memories. All right, so we'll wait and see what kind of collaboration this entails. And let's move on to our final keyword of the day.
Pension reform.
So there's been a heated public debate, and that might be an understatement, about whether to increase national pension fees and the amounts people receive when they retire. Now, as you can imagine, if you're scheduled to retire soon, maybe you want a higher payout. If you have to pay long term, maybe you have a different perspective on things. Run us through what was said.
Yeah, this is kind of one of those long running debates and a very controversial and contentious issue that's not really going to be easily resolved. There's, of course, a lot of sides to this. Now, this particular debate took place during a forum organized by a committee under the National Assembly, where experts and 500 representatives from the public gathered to talk about these issues. This debate came as the government is trying to decide how to improve financial security for the elderly when they retire, while also keeping pension funds stable. The National Pension Service, of course, isn't doing that well financially. They discussed two main ideas. One plan suggests raising the pension insurance rate from 9% to 13% and raising the income replacement rate from 40% to 50%. Now, the other is to increase the insurance rate to 12% while maintaining the replacement rate at 40%. Now, one of the professors at the debate supports the first plan, points out that Korea's pensions are quite low compared to the OECD average. He argues that to improve this, both the amount of money people get and the time they pay into the system should increase. On the other hand, though, another professor from another university says that focusing on keeping the pension system financially sound is more important. He warns that just increasing the amount of money going into the system without a plan can lead to bigger problems down the road. He suggests that finding ways to prevent the pension fund from running out of money is crucial as of now, like raising premiums and managing the funds better as they are. So kind of keeping the status quo, but making some slight improvements, basically. Now, the discussion also touched on how these changes would affect younger and, of course, older generations, highlighting the need for careful planning to ensure that future retirees don't end up with insufficient funds or none at all, is some of the concerns that is being mentioned. Now, the committee plans to hold more discussions on the topic to help shape the final decision on pension reform. When that will come, of course, remains to be seen, but of course, efforts are being made.
Just to echo President Yoon's statements months and months ago, nobody likes reform. It's painful, it's long, it's dreary, but nonetheless, we must.
Yes. Whether we'll come to some sort of conclusion, that is another question. But yes, it is a long, drawn-out process, definitely.
In the meantime, Adam will help us keep tabs, won't you?
Certainly, as always.
Thank you very much for that. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're very welcome. See you tomorrow.
If you're listening to our program using the podcast service, just a reminder that we do go live Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Korea Standard Time. So tune in and help us make the show more informative by giving us your input. See you bright and early on Good Morning Seoul.